White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. We sailed down the Musi River, and as the day got hotter, the stretcher patients on the unprotected decks got more and more sunburned. At last, we saw a wharf, and the little launch turned towards it. Our ship was so small that it was well below the level of the wharf, and as we looked up, we saw a bunch of Japanese officers looking down on us. We were quite pleased to see Yamasaki, one-time commandant of our camp for a month or so. We didn't know why we were glad to see him, but we were. Not that any of us liked him, but he'd never worried us unduly. Perhaps it was just seeing a familiar, smiling face. He took one look at our deck, which was covered with dying women, and our feeble efforts to protect them from the sun, and the smile went off his face very suddenly. He spoke to another officer, who sent another Jap running off for something. Then they all stood and looked at us. Presently, the runner came back, gave something to an officer, who jumped down on the deck and started giving injections to the desperately ill people. This is the first time we had seen a Jap actually do something to help the sick. Then we were told to get onto the wharf and stand a tenko in twos.
Why couldn't they just ask us how many died on the trip and how many started out, and then we could have a rest?
Because anything as simple as that is beyond the Jap intelligence, Blanchie, that's why.
Well, what about the stretchers? Are they to be left here too?
No, Jeff.
We're to move them across to the wharf over the railway tracks. Put them down on the grass. Jap orders.
Who's going to move them?
Who do you think?
Come on, Blanchie, to work, my girl.
Well, what about the others? Are they still able to carry stretchers, Ioli?
Yes, Viv and Wilma have started.
All right.
I don't know how those girls are standing up to this, Shorty. I really don't.
No. It's all falling on the same six. Makes me so flaming mad that I can't help. Oh, it's no use. If I try, I'd just keel over. And they've got someone else to cope with.
I know that's a sensible way to look at it. It's awfully hard.
I wish they'd hurry up and count us. Let's sit down for a bit. I've got the shakes.
That's the last stretcher now that Val and Trot are taking over. Have you been counted yet, Jeff?
Not yet, Blanchie.
Don't be silly. We've only been standing here an hour. You can't expect these things to be done in a hurry. The Nips haven't had time to fully enjoy the sight of us standing here, shaking with weariness and hunger, panting with thirst. They've had two entertainments to watch. Us, and the sight of you stumbling along carrying the dying. You mustn't spoil their fun by rushing things, Blanchie.
Shut up, Shorty. Here comes the guard.
Oh, buck up, Shorty. He's probably going to count us now.
You, Australia.
Which Australia, you blue-nosed baboon?
Put a sock in it. He'll hear you.
You, Australia. That one. You.
Yes?
You and other carriers bring stretcher back here to be counted.
Bring them back? But you told us to take them over there.
Bring them back. Have to be counted.
But we can tell you how many stretchers there are.
You will do as you're told. Bring back stretcher. Chip on, chip on. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
At last, we were all counted and recounted and started off across the train tracks, the same six girls carrying the stretchers again. When we got there, it was a relief to sit on the grass for an hour or so. We were given something to drink. It was brought in buckets by Jap underlings. It was hot and wet, and we all enjoyed it. Eventually, a train came down the tracks and ground to a stop just near us. What are you two doing here? You go down to the carriages, the other end of the train.
You came to help, Iole.
Yeah, we can do something.
Look, you can't do anything here. Get into the carriages and settle yourselves down to get some rest. There'll be plenty for us all to do before this trip's over, and you'll be in a better state to take over if you rest now.
Iole's right, Jeff. Come on.
In here, Osai. Chip it, chip it. In here.
What's all the rush?
Oh, Lord knows. Here, this will do us. Can you climb up, Jeff?
Oh, well, I think so. I have to. Oh, why do they make steps so high, for Pete's sake?
It's all right when there's a platform. Here. I'll give you a leg up.
What about you?
Well, you can pull me up. Are you up?
Oh, most of me. It's a bit of shin on the step, I think. Here, give me a hand.
Wait a bit, Shorty. I'll give you a push. There! You made it?
Yeah, thanks, Blanche.
Don't mention it.
Oh, well, look at my hands and knees. They're black.
Oh, what is it?
Soot, I suppose. It's awfully gritty. Hey, don't rub your nose, Shorty. Oh, now you look like Al Jolson.
Hey, never mind my beauty. Look at this.
What?
Padded seats, no less.
Oh.
I expected hard benches or the floor.
Oh, well, we are coming on.
Yeah.
Quick, grab a posse before they're all taken.
Oh, this is better than that blazing sun on the boat.
Holly, what a stretcher. Get in there, you. Chapman.
They must be going to move very soon by the sound of things.
Oh, now I'm sitting down. I don't care what happens.
You, Astray, close window. Get blinds down.
Are there any lights on the train? Or lamps?
No light around. Close all windows.
What do we breathe?
What is that?
If the windows are closed, we don't get any air.
Enough for you. Close all windows. Put blinds down.
This would be nice. Everything shut tight and pitch black. Help me with this window, Shorty, will you?
Let's leave it till the train starts, Blanche.
I wonder how long the trip will take.
Get those windows closed, Astray.
We're waiting till we started. Then we'll put them down.
You will put them down now.
Oh.
If the window is open, you will be punished.
When do we go?
The train stays here for tonight.
Oh.
Pull down blinds. There's to be no light. Close windows. Put blinds down.
Well, after all that screaming and yelling to hurry, and we stay here all night.
In the pitch dark. Oh, no.
What about the doctors and our girls trying to cope with the people who are so ill in the cattle trucks? I suppose they'll be blacked out, too.
I can bet your life that if it can be made more impossible for them, it will be. Swine.
I'm going back to see how they're getting on.
Jeff! Are you there?
Yes, Shorty.
Oh, thank heaven. For a moment it was so still and quiet and dark. I thought I was dead.
If I have to sit up much longer, I'll start to wish I was. Ooh. Oh, my back.
Must be nearly morning, isn't it?
Oh, not by a long way. There's hours to go.
I'm sorry. Did I hurt you?
Who's that?
Iole, I think. Is that you, Iole?
Yes. What's left of me?
Oh, there's a little bit of room here. Can you feel your way?
Yep. Oh, Jeff, what a night. It's been awful.
How are things going?
It's pretty bad, Shorty. There's
6 women have died already.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. The monstrous thing is that the Japs have made us sling them under the cattle trucks there to travel with us under there.
Oh, no.
It's no use letting the others know. It's bad enough for us.
No doubt about it. Everything is done that can be done to break our morale and kill us off.
Well, they're not going to succeed because we're not going to crack.
Not on your life.
Roddy! Roddy! Roddy!
What's that?
Listen.
Roddy!
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 It's Brad!
Brad! Oh, it can't be. We haven't seen Brad since we were first in town.
Oh, Brad!
Roddy.
Oh, it's too good to be true!
Roddy.
Brad!
As we had eaten nothing but sour, cold rice so far on our journey, we all sparked up, waiting in the dark for our ration. It wasn't actually bread. Nobody ever found out what it was, but it was good. Each little loaf was about the size of a half pound of butter and weighed nearly a pound. It was hard and chewy. We thought it might be made of rubber, but even so, it was better than the rice. One little loaf each was our ration to last us for 2 days until we arrived in the new camp. Everyone settled down again and gnawed at their bread. We sat and waited for the day to come. It was impossible to sleep. The air was thick. One good thing happened. The bread did wonders for most of us. It stopped diarrhea at once. Slowly, so slowly as we stared at the darkness, a grey line started to show around the edges of the windows. Dawn was breaking. At last we could get on with the frightful journey and get it over. We wanted so much to get to the new camp. We hoped that things might be better for us there. After the terrible night spent in the train, we watched the dawn creep in like a grey mouse through the cracks around the blinds. Still we sat in the airless, reeking carriages until 7 o'clock, when at last we started with a lurch that sent us all sprawling.
Oh, ow!
We certainly are.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. Ow! What have I sort myself out? Hey, is that leg yours or mine?
Well, if you mean the one being squashed, it's mine.
Next word should straighten us all out. Oh, what a relief to be moving. Oh,
I can't find my bread. I've dropped it.
I've still got mine clutched in my hand.
No, you haven't. That's my arm, you fool.
Oh, but I've lost my bread, too. Oh, no, here's a loaf. Oh, hope the grit will dust off.
Oh, here's mine. It's rolled under the seat.
Oh, well, that's all right. Now we can settle down for a nice long trip.
The windows and blinds may be put up a little while train is moving. You will shut them when a station is passed. Understand?
Couldn't be clearer.
Windows and blinds may be raised.
This one's stuck. I can't move it.
Here, let me try. Oh, that's it.
Oh, air.
Oh, what wonderful stuff.
What's the idea of shutting them up when we pass a station, I wonder?
The station's right. I bet there's nothing here bigger than a bit of a siding.
I suppose it's so the natives can't see us, Blanching.
More likely so we can't see them and do a little trading with them.
Oh, that's silly. But it won't stop people buying fruit if they've got the money.
Well, won't worry me. I haven't got anything to buy fruit with.
How are girls getting on?
Hello, Val. Come for a rest?
Oh, no, Jeff. I've been made O.C. fruit.
What fruit is there to be O.C. of, for goodness sake?
The Jeffs have some very green bananas and pineapples to sell, so I have to walk up and down the train trying to sort out who wants what and try and please them all.
Well, what's it like?
Very expensive and too green to eat. Just make more for us to carry. But it's got to be sold. Want some?
And after your sales talk, no thanks, dear.
If I find anything halfway decent among it, I'll come back.
Well, that was the most fantastic thing I've ever seen.
What was, Blanchie? Here, come and sit down for a minute.
Thanks. Well, Ioli is busy organizing a carriage into a hospital.
Well, how on earth?
Well, it's different to the others. You see, it's got two long seats down the side and a table arrangement right down the center.
Oh.
We had to do something. So many people are ill and more are becoming ill. I mean, really ill all the time.
I don't know how you're coping.
Anyway, as I was saying, Ioli has arranged it so that every sick person can lie down on these long seats or on the table. She's worked it so that they can all stretch out for a couple of hours each. You at least get that much rest.
There's no doubt about it. She's a wonderful person.
Wait a minute. You just don't know the half of it. A while ago, a Jap doctor appeared.
Well, if he was as good as the Jap dentist, he'd be a great help.
Mm. Ioli and Val cornered him and demanded quinine. Just about everyone's got malaria except me.
It's wonderful that you haven't got it yet.
And I suppose the Nip didn't understand?
No, he understood all right. He asked the girls how much they needed. I thought they were going to faint with surprise and shock.
True.
And what's more, he arrived back for the amount they'd asked for.
Now, I do believe in fairies.
I think I'm going to faint with shock.
I wonder what time it is.
It's getting late.
What I want to know is, why do we have to have everything shut tight again just because it's getting dark? We seem to be going through jungle and mountains. Not a soul in sight. Why shut us up like this?
I'll try and answer that one at a later date. Right now I must go back on duty. I'll try and make Ioli come through for a rest.
You know, Jeff, those two girls have been wonderful. They haven't sat down for more than 10 minutes at a time through the whole of this awful trip.
I just don't know how they keep on their feet. I really don't.
Lord knows what would have happened to those poor, unfortunate people who were so ill if it hadn't been for our girls. Mm.
Listen.
What?
We're stopping, I think.
Don't tell me we've arrived.
Wherever we are, I'm going to get out and stretch my legs.
Coming, Shorty?
You bet. And let's make for the door now before the rush.
We jumped off the train to get a breath of fresh air and found nearly everyone else had the same thought. We were at Lobok Lingau. Just as we were gulping down our first real breaths for hours, the Japs came along and made us get back into the train to spend the night in it, still with all doors and windows shut tight. This was at about 8 o'clock. For 3 nights running, we'd all sat up. We were nearly dead with weariness, thirst, and hunger. It seemed the day would never come. However, just before dawn, we were pushed out of the train by screaming Japs and told to get ready for the next part of the trip. As they were swinging at our legs again with their bayonets, we got out pretty smartly. The morning air was cold and damp, but better than the train carriage.
Oh, ouch!
Oh, what's the matter, Short?
Oh, I wasn't quick enough. That mongrel caught me on the leg with his bayonet.
Oh, badly? Let me see.
Oh, no, it's only a nick. Oh, it stings.
The stretchers are being laid out on the wet grass again. The women lying there in the half-light look ghastly.
Come over here, girls. Dr. McDowell says we're to be given a hot drink.
Oh, leave me to it.
Oh, poor Dr. McDowell. She looks like a limp rag.
She's been wonderful. She's worked all night and day with the sick and the cattle trucks. She's never stopped. But no matter how hard we worked, we couldn't stop them dying.
Many more, Val?
Too many. And there's a terrific lot we'll have to go straight into hospital when we get through the camp.
Here. Don't know what this is, but it's warming. Drink up.
No, thanks.
Hmm.
Ooh. Oh, what odd stuff.
It's rather.
It's good, though.
Well, what happens to us now, do you suppose?
We wait here for trucks to pick us up, and then we're on the last lap. Thank goodness.
All I hope is that we don't wait too long. It's very cold, and our patients will be frozen.
Don't worry, Val. We'll probably be left here in the shade until it's good and hot, then piled into open lorries to travel in the full belt of the sun. Oh, well, tee-dapper.
But Shorty was wrong. An hour or so later, we were bundled into trucks and driven Jap fashion through the freezing early morning. We passed laden banana palms, and the roadside was lined with tapioca plants. We drooled, but they were not for us. We came at last to a rubber plantation about 12 miles from a town. In the middle was our new camp. The first thing I saw as we drove in was a huge stack of sweet potatoes. What a change from sour, dry, cold rice. We were met by Woody, Jenny Greer, Wynn Davis, Jess Doyle, and a few English sisters. It was good to see them. They helped us get our weary bones down and took over from Ioli and Val to look after the hospital patients and get them installed.
Oh, poor souls. Oh, it is good to have you here, safe and sound. You all look awful, though.
That's right. Cheer us up, Woody.
No, I didn't mean that, Shorty. I only meant... Well, I mean it.
We know what you mean, Woody. Don't let Shorty tease you.
What's that noise? It sounds like running water.
It is running water, Jeff. There's a stream goes right through the camp. Oh, and the food's a bit better. We've had sweet potato stew with a carrot in it.
Stew? Real stew? With a carrot, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, that's what I thought you said.
Oh, and something else, sure.
Oh, don't tell me any more. I can't stop my mouth watering.
Well, Wynn Davis saved a spoonful each for you.
Oh.
You can have it now while you're waiting to go up to the hospital.
Oh, that's our Winnie Mae. Always doing something for other people.
Oh, that was luscious.
Best thing I've eaten for months.
Tell us about the camp, Woody.
Well, Blanche, the hospital is over the creek. You go up a hill and down a mighty slope, across a wet, slippery bridge and past the kitchens.
Individual or community?
No, community. A bit farther on, and there it is.
It's so tiny, you're likely to miss it if you don't watch out.
The whole camp is shady, by the way.
Oh, well, that's a change.
We're really in the middle of an unused rubber estate. I think the Dutch wrecked it before they left.
What else? Bathrooms?
Well, none. We wash in the creek. And the lavs, there are 8 of them. They're built over the creek. They look like little bathing boxes. We live mostly in large, badly built attap huts. Mud floors, leaking roofs, and we sleep on barley.
And what about water, Woody?
Every drop has to be carried from the creek.
Oh.
There's one sort of a cottage that the Charitas nuns have. And next to it, a tiny one-room hut that 10 of us Australians live in. Oh, it's hut 13.
Well, that's nice. Who's superstitious?
Me.
Well, then you'd better join the rest of our girls up on the hill. They're the district nurses. They look after all the people up there.
Who staffs the hospital?
Oh, the nuns and sisters from hut 13, Blanche.
Oh, I don't like the idea of creek water again. I think that's been our trouble. Aren't there any wells?
Oh, there's a concrete one quite near, but it only fills with rainwater. And it's emptied in about 10 minutes, so it's not much help.
Oh, I think there are signs of activity. You better get ready to follow on to the hospital, Jeff.
Have you got all your gear?
Oh, I think so, Blanche.
Come on, Jeff.
So we walked to the hospital behind the stretchers. So far, things didn't look so bad here, except the water. And that may be all right. It was good to have so much shade for our aching eyes. In the last camp, the glare was awful. The whole place was awful. It had reduced us to wrecks. And if we hadn't gone when we did, I don't think many of us would have gone at all. It was wonderful to have left it and that hell journey behind us.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.